Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're going to pick back up on the third part of what we started a few weeks back, but because of the Easter holiday, I interjected some other things that I felt the Lord directing me and leading me to do there. And so we're going to go back to this is the third of three things that God shared with me. And I'll bring you up to snuff with what the first two are very quickly. But Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Two times repetitively there. God, anytime He repeats Himself in the Scripture, it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. He's trying to get us to understand the importance of what it is that He's telling us to do. And then He says, and forget not all His benefits. Do you know there's a benefit package that comes with God? There are great benefits in being a part of the kingdom of God. How many of you realize that? How many of you have a place or work at a place and the benefits aren't real good? Well, God's benefits, when you work for the kingdom, His benefits, I can't help myself, they're out of this world. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth, are you with me? All thy diseases. That's what your Bible says. Who redeems thy life from destruction. Forget not all His benefits. One of His benefits is He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. How many would say those are good benefits? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is an ever-present help in trouble. Boy, aren't those great benefits. God is my refuge. How many here has ever needed a refuge? God is our, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, God is our refuge, and God is our strength, and God is our ever-present help. Ever-present help. Say ever-present help. Sometimes it's just what we get looking at. You say, well, I don't sense God in this. It's because you ain't sensing God. It ain't because God left. It's because you left where you're looking. See, Peter began to sink, and the Scripture says he took his eyes off of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When Peter began to take his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink, but he didn't. Remember? We preached that a number of weeks ago. He didn't. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and because he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink, but Jesus was there. He was an ever-present help in the time of trouble because he reached out his hand and he took a hold of Peter's hand, and he did not allow Peter to sink, even though Peter momentarily got his eyes off of Jesus. Have you ever had a momentarily in your life? Am I the only one? Have you ever momentarily looked at something other? So you get focused on the thing. You get focused on what you think is the thing. And all of a sudden, because you're focused on something that isn't even really real, you start getting distracted. You start getting pulled away. You're no longer even being effective in the kingdom because you have momentarily. That's a good place to say amen. We momentarily sometimes get distracted. We get pulled away. Our focus, but the Lord, say, but the Lord, look at somebody this morning and say, but the Lord, my Lord, Mike Platt, but the Lord, But the Lord, your family would be going to a cemetery today. But the Lord. I'm not exaggerating, am I, Mike? But the Lord. How many times in our life, but the Lord. Some of us don't even know what we missed. But the Lord. God is our refuge. A place elevated above. God is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because God is, therefore. Can you say therefore? Because he's my refuge, because he's my ever help in time of trouble, therefore means because, right? Because he is those things, we will not. Therefore, we will not false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym. Therefore, we will not false evidence appearing real. I don't care what false evidence seems to be appearing in your life. If it's contrary to the word of God, if it's bringing separation, if it's bringing death, if it's bringing confusion, if it's bringing hurt, then we need adjusted. Are you with me? Therefore, we will not fear. Fear's got to be, without a doubt, the greatest. We're not here to glorify the enemy by any means, but Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. That's what the Bible says. Your Bible says that. And so if I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices, I know one of his greatest tactics is fear. It's one of his greatest tactics. Because fear will render you helpless, hopeless, discouraged, and destitute. That's what fear does. Fear. Do you know the Bible says, it doesn't say because of cancer. He doesn't say because of tumors. He doesn't say because of strokes. He doesn't say because of eating whatever it is you eat. The Bible says that there will come a day that men's hearts will fail them for false evidence appearing real. In other words, what the Bible says is men will die. George, men will die prematurely. There are those that will prematurely go to their grave because of false evidence appearing real. In other words, what they were afraid of never happened. Never was going to happen. But the enemy is unbelievable. He can deceive the most. If you think you're beyond deceit in the enemy, you're already deceived. That's why we're called to be on guard. Because he comes as. He appears as things that he's not. The Bible says he even appears as an angel of light. You know what that means? He's all polished up and he looks good. He looks like the real thing. You know, certain counterfeits are so good that the natural eye can't even tell it's a counterfeit. Because it looks so real. But you know what? It doesn't matter how real it looks. If it ain't him, it isn't him. False evidence appearing real. Therefore, we, who are the we? You, me, believers. Not like Justin Bieber followers, not Biebers. Believers. You like Justin Bieber, whatever. That's, you know, I don't care. But we're not. We're not Biebers, we're believers. What does a believer do? What is the essence of a believer? Come on, this ain't hard. Ethan, what's a believer do? Believes. It's very simple. A believer believes. A follower follows, right? We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are believers in the cross of Calvary. We are believers in the blood that ran from the cross to redeem us from our sin and from death and from separation from God. We are believers that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Therefore, we, disciples, believers, will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. In other words, what he's saying, here's what he's saying. What will separate? What will cause you to momentarily? What will cause you to lose your focus or your way? When we go to the wrong disappointment, three things pop up. Well, there's probably more, but I isolated three things. And one of them was distance. We become distant from God. There becomes a separation in our relationship. And any relationship you're in today that is of God and you feel straining apart, it's the devil. Don't allow him to deceive you any further. If you feel a strain in a relationship with somebody that you are in right now with, it's the enemy. Because God, that's not God. If you feel distance from the Lord isn't causing you to be distant from him. That's the enemy. Who wants you distant from God? Who wants you distant from God's ways? Who wants you distant from the nature and the character and the love and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God? It is the enemy of your soul. Do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. The second one is disappointment. Because when we become at a distance from God, when we become distanced from him, we then suffer disappointment in our life. We're constantly disappointed. Constantly disappointed because we don't realize him as a good, good father. Number three, which we're going to look at this morning, number three is this, destruction. Destruction. There's destruction that comes when God is not our refuge. When we go to the wrong refuge, we will find distance, we will be disappointed, and destruction comes. When we go to the wrong refuges. I'm going to give you a portion of scripture that not many people, probably this isn't a real portion of scripture that most people say, oh, I'm going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Yeah, that's where I'm going today. If you were going to go to a go-to, it's probably not 2 Chronicles chapter 16, but that's where we're going to go today. Because we're going to see something incredibly enlightening in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 this morning. Most people in the kingdom have not even read this portion of scripture because a lot of people bypass a lot of the Old Testament books. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 12 through 13. This is incredible. This is incredible verse. Incredible verse. Don't do anything but pay attention to this verse right now. Don't be tweeting out anything, which I don't mind you doing that during services. Something's good said and hits you and you want to tweet it out, go ahead, that's cool, whatever. But right now, I just want you to pay attention to this verse. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Asa was diseased, say diseased, in his feet, which seem insignificant to most. There are a lot of other places to be diseased. You'd think it'd be a whole lot worse than your feet, wouldn't you? Until his disease was exceedingly great. Now here's the part I want you to see. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord. Asa was diseased in his feet, and Asa, even though he was in a sickness and a sick state, he sought not the Lord. Do you know your Bible says that you have not because you ask not? You have not because you ask not. Sometimes the Bible says we pray amiss. We've prayed sometimes and not even touched the thing we really wanted to pray about. Sometimes we pray and never really even hit the subject of what it is that we wanted to pray about. And the Bible says, don't pray amiss. We're to pray specifically. Asa had this disease in his feet, and he didn't seek the Lord on it. But to the physicians. Now, I want to just give a little disclaimer here. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go to doctors. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Luke was a physician. How many of you know that? And God sometimes gives doctors wisdom and understanding for certain things that we're going through. And I've seen God use doctors and work through doctors. I've seen God do mighty things that have brought doctors even to the salvation, to the knowledge of God. Asa put, here's the thing. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Asa had diseased feet. He was sick. He never went to God, Laura. Never went to God, but where did he go? The doctors. Can I ask you this morning, where was his refuge? It wasn't God. Because it said, even though he had disease in his feet, he sought not the Lord. He never went to God. Nowhere in this verse will you see he was rebuked for going to the doctor. That's not the point. You can go to the doctor and pray for wisdom. Pray that God gives him wisdom. Pray that God heals you, and you can go back in and the doctor say, what happened? God healed me. We're not anti-doctor. Don't you dare go out of here with that feeling or that understanding. We're not anti-doctor. But the mistake Asa made was his refuge was the doctor. He put his confidence and his hope solely in. Solely. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? He did not seek God. He never sought God. All he sought was man. And I've got news for you. If you seek man and expect all the answers, you are in deep, deep trouble. And Asa slept with his fathers. You know what that means? He died. He died. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but only the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and he died. He died. The implication in that verse was, what if Asa had sought the Lord? He never sought the Lord. He only sought something external. He never sought the Lord. Again, nowhere in there do we say, don't see a doctor. Nowhere does the word say it was against doctors. It's simply saying, he went to the doctor, but he didn't seek God. See, when you seek God and you go to the doctor, you got a lot more help. His refuge, our refuge, is in the one we seek help from. All right, Romans chapter 8. Our refuge is the one in whom we seek help from. Romans chapter 8, what a powerful verse of scripture. We're going to read this. We're going to talk just a little bit about it, and then we're going to be done for this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say no condemnation. That doesn't mean for everyone. That does not mean for everyone. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? In Jesus, no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You should shout me down right there. I've been in churches where I could not even preach for another 15 minutes because of the shouting that would have went on that right there. Barbara in a little church in Mexico where they had to walk to get there and sat on a wooden bench, which stood outside listening in the window, would have shouted the preacher down for a verse like that. Because that is the good news of the God. But you know what? We are the frozen chosen. We are just too set in our ways. We do not even get excited anymore about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, he has redeemed. Why do I get excited when I preach? Because I know what he's redeemed me from. Man, and when you know what he's redeemed you from, you can't help but giving him praise. He's a good, good father. Matter of fact, a man walked by that church in Mexico, heard us preaching, and ran home. He was just a passerby. He wasn't even coming to hear the service. He just was passing by and heard the message, ran home and got his family, brought them all back, and they all got saved that night. Because of the good news, not because of the fighting, the back battering, and who's in this, who's in that, and who's got the lead, and who doesn't, and who's better, and who isn't. Oh, I'm sick of all that. How about you? You hit a hole in one the first night we go golfing, I'm going to be the first one jumping and hollering and shouting for you. I don't care if I ever hit one in my life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I just want the pizza afterwards. That's all I care about. Man, you pull in here in a brand new, shiny, whatever your dream car is, I am the first one saying, thank you, Jesus. For that, you'd never hear me say, oh, they think they're something. They got a new car. That's silly. You get a new home. Oh, they think they're all something. They got a new house. Thank you, Jesus. We should rejoice with each other when we rejoice. Shouldn't be, you know, we don't have no more condemnation. We've been set free from sin and death. And that stuff's all sin and it's all death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Wow. Man, that is a mouthful. That is incredible. That gets my motor running. He came to pay for something I couldn't pay for. He came to set me free when I was weak and helpless and lost and bound. He called me out by name. Man, that's a reason to get excited. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walks not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Those who walk no longer in condemnation, but those who are in Christ Jesus. For we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, destruction, defeat. But to set the mind, let this mind which was in Christ now be in us, the word says. But set this mind on the Spirit is life and peace. See, when our mind is set on the Lord, on his word, on what he says, there's life and there's peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. At war with God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, the Word says. The one who walks according to the flesh cannot submit to God's law because they're hostile toward God, at war with God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. You, however, here's the good news, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. How many of you believe that today? Anyone who does not live, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead now dwell in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life in your mortal bodies, that through His Spirit may dwell in you. Man, that's good stuff. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into false evidence appearing real. But you have received the Spirit of adoption as a son, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if then children, then we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ Jesus. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be also glorified with Him. The psalmist said this, listen, Psalm 121, verse 1 through 8, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. In other words, what he's saying, the Lord is my refuge. I lift up my eyes to the mountains where my help does come from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot to slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor will he sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is a shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Two times he tells us there. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. He is a good, good Father. But when we choose something else as our refuge, we get into a wrong place. We have false hope, false security, which only leaves us empty and lonely. Come on, worship team. Will you come back to the platform? When we seek wrong refuges, there's destruction, a pathway of destruction. John told us, John said, but the thief, he comes but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Those things are all destruction. Are they or are they not? They're all destruction. But Jesus declared, but I have come that you might have life. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go as a refuge? Who are you going to seek as a refuge? There is none other but the Lord. There is none other but the Lord. Come on, will you stand with us? How many have ever sought a wrong refuge at some point in your life? Have you ever sought a wrong refuge in your life? Have you ever turned to something? I said to some of you, it's true. You know, Breyers can talk. Breyers ice cream. You walk in the house and it'll say to you, did you have a rough day? did you have a bad week, Bill? Come on over here. This ain't Single Scoop Friday. This is Fill Up the Bull Friday. How many of you know that pizza will talk to you? How many of you know chocolate chip cookies will talk to you? Cheryl, don't stop making them. Don't stop making them. Sometimes we go to things as comfort, right? We talked about that. We find something that's a comfort. What have we done? We've gone to the comfort of the thing, which is momentary. And I can tell you, man, that Breyers ice cream and a bag of chips is a good comfort for about 30 minutes. And that's about all it takes for me to devour it. And then I wake up in the morning. My belly's popping out. It's bloated. Come on, don't act like some of you don't know what bloated means. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, it was comforting you for a moment. But it left you empty, didn't it? But he is your refuge and your strength, your ever-present help in the time of trouble. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you today that you are our refuge. You are our ever-present help in the time of trouble. No matter what the enemy brings against us, whatever false evidence he drums up that appears real, we put our trust, our hope, our confidence in you. The one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Rapha. El Shaddai, the Rock of Ages, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star, the one who flung the stars into space, the one who hung the star, the moon and the sun and told it to be still, the one who told the waters to not go any further. There is no God like you. The one who formed us in our mother's bellies. The one who called us by name. the one who watches over us and does not slumber nor sleep. The one who calls us joint heirs with his Son, Jesus Christ. The very one who calls us the apple of his eye. Jehovah Jireh, there is none like you. Jehovah Nissi, you're my banner. Today I thank you, Father, that you watch over our coming and our going and our rising and our sitting. Lord, in other words, what you're telling us is you keep your watch over us wherever we go. I'm so thankful for that today. I pray that you will bless your children this morning, those who may tune in and listen to this over the internet, with a sense of peace and joy from your presence. To know that we're not alone, that you are with us, that you have us, that you've got us. And if we will step out and just trust you and walk in your commands and in your direction, listen to your voice, Lord, you've declared to us, we're already out of condemnation. There are way too many of your children still living condemned when you've already settled it. Too many living sad. Too many living miserable and bitter and angry. Your word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So fill us today with your joy and your peace. As we leave this place today, not being shy or timid about the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of our God. You are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.